Well, good morning. Welcome to Harbor Hope and Garden to City. I know you just had an amazing time of worship. I was in the back worshiping alongside you. We are so excited to once again walk from Genesis to Revelation with you as a community. And then on top of that, I also get to kick off this four-week series called Origins. And today we're going to be looking at the origin of humanity and the origin of the world. We'll be using scripture from Genesis 1 and 2. If you do not have a Bible, we would love to give you one as a gift from us to you. They're in the back of our worship area. Please take one home. We will be in scripture all of this year. And in addition to that, we will always have the scripture right on the screen for you to look at. You know, I came to Harbor in the summer of 2012. And as you've heard Isaiah and John talk about, we are so excited to have these resources to put into your hands this year as we go from garden to city. And so one of the resources is a journal. And so that'll be available next week for $5. You can buy it in the worship area. And I wanted to tell you a quick story. When I came to Harbor, I had invited a friend of mine from New Hampshire down to our worship time. And my friend Phyllis was standing in the cafe, and she had her Garden to City journal. And these are private. You know, it's where we write our prayer requests and our notes from our messages. And she opened hers right up for my friend Diane to look at, and she showed her what God was doing in her life and through the community at Harbor. And so I encourage you to grab one, make sure that you're using it. You're spending time with God this year, writing down what it is that he's teaching you. So at the end of this year, when we're all together again looking at the book of Revelation, we will see how God is moving both in our lives individually and as a community together. And in order for that to happen, I just want to encourage you as we step into 2016 to take seriously the gift God has given us called Sabbath rest. Find a way, a time to set apart from the busyness that we do, to just sit at the feet of God, allow him to teach us and restore our souls. You know, I'm so excited for this year because I'm excited to grow closer to Christ. And I believe we grow closer to Christ the same way we grow closer to anyone. We need to spend time together. So I hope this year that you will find a way to make prayer and time in scripture, both alone and in community, part of just the habits that you build into your daily life. So as I mentioned, we're going to briefly look at Genesis 1 and 2 as we see the origin of the world and origin of humanity. And my goal today is for you to leave knowing this. God made you on purpose for a purpose. God was intentional when he created people. Scripture says the image of God, and the image of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in that image we were created. And we sit here today, and if you know the church calendar, you know that the season that we went through when we all rushed around, that was called Advent. The season of Christmas began Christmas Day, and this is what we're celebrating these 12 days. The good news that God and man are reconciled. And so earlier we mentioned that this is the second time we're going from garden to city. And so as I began to prepare, I went back to listen to January 2012, when our former senior pastor, Jed Mullinix, was here, and listen to his heart behind doing a series on garden to city. And if you don't know this, at the Harbor of Hope website, all of the sermons are there. You can go back as far as you want and re-listen to things. But I listened to Jed, and you might even hear his voice as I say some of the things that he said. He said, God's word leads to our joy. If we allow our heart to be open to God and his word, it will lead to our joy. Because joy is not dependent on our feelings about life or how things are going. And the reason we read scripture is this: God is for our deepest joy. We were created to know God, to love him, and to enjoy him. So we're starting in Genesis. And if you've been in Starting Point, this sentence sounds familiar. We will be spending the year looking at the one story inspired by God, written by over 39 authors over a span of 1,500 years. And do you love how Isaiah told us what we're doing? Right, we're looking at this one story of God reconciling us to him. For many of us, Genesis 1:1 is a verse we've memorized. As I started to prepare, I realized most of my adult life, I have started January in the book of Genesis. Anyone else? You get through Genesis, you get through Exodus, and what happens? Leviticus a little hard, Numbers a little hard, and we're just going to start again next year. So most of us have read Genesis 1:1 over and over again. And you know, the most I ever learned on Genesis was a year I spent with a group of friends, and we went through the book of Genesis very slowly around my friend's dining room table. And that year, scripture just came to life for me. And so I thought as I began to prepare that it would just be things I knew. And you know how great God is? Again, new things jumped up. In fact, I had to keep redirecting myself. God, let's only talk about the origin of humanity, because each phrase of what God did and who he is so amazing it could be its own message. But the Bible tells us that Genesis 1 begins this way. In the beginning, God created. Scripture tells us that all of life began when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit created together. And that Hebrew word for God is Elohim. And if you took language in high school, I went to Lowell High, I took French, and I remember learning about singular and plural nouns, even though it's something that's part of our English. You don't realize till you take a second language what that is. Elohim is a plural noun, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet the verb is singular. So the three in one created together. And you know, our Old Testament is just that. It's Hebrew words that have been translated into English. And in Elohim, we see not just one person, but unity of three. And by the time we get to Deuteronomy in about 8 weeks, we will see God be known as Yahweh. Our Elohim, our God, is one. And if we were today to take the Hebrew for Genesis and put it on a screen to look at, you would see that seven times in Genesis 1, a Hebrew word appears. And that word is Tov. And we recognize it as the phrase, it was good, right? Every time God created, what did he say? He made light, it is good. He made the sky, it is good. But Tov, this Hebrew word, has so much more meaning than just good. And I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about that. I began to look at it by reading an article this month. Because Tov means that there was no sin, no death, no pain. Things were created to work as they were meant to work. And there's so much in that one little word. And Skip Moen said, it is good is the Western understanding of this Hebrew word, Tov. But there's no verb there in that phrase. The Hebrew words run together to make one expression, not two distinct thoughts like it and good. So what does it mean for God to see good? He said it's somewhat like a news report of some already completed event, but that's not quite enough to explain it. And so this sentence is hard, I admit that, but I want us to ponder it and think about it. God sees what has been done in terms of what will be done. God sees what has been done in terms of what will be done. So very hard to understand. And the example that came to me is if you invited a friend from another country to learn English in New England, how hard would it be to explain what wicked good means, right? As they're trying to learn English, how do we say this? How do we explain Tov? And I'm excited to speak on this word because I learned it back in 2012 when I came to Harbor. My oldest daughter was still part of the youth group that we had been a part of that church for over 10 years, and the youth group had gone off to Tennessee. And she had an amazing time. She was able to hear Francis Chan and worship with Chris Tomlin. And the whole week was around this word, Tov. So she came back, and my family went on vacation with her to the Cape. And I think that's one of the places I feel God most strongly. And you have a place like that. But when I sit on the edge of the ocean with my feet in the sand and I realize how great is our God, I was starting to ponder that word Tov because the ocean was working the way it was intended to. It stopped right where God wanted it to stop. But the truth is, Tov is no longer true today. See, the heavens tell the glory of God. That's what Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us. The heavens tell the glory of God. And you've seen moments like this. The sky this morning, I don't know if any of you saw it, was this beautiful purple. And sometimes we see sunsets that just take our breath away. Or a snowy morning like the other day when we had been anticipating some snow and the sun was glistening on it. Sometimes we see moments where we start to feel what Tov must have felt like. But the world is no longer Tov. Next week, Jeff will be speaking to us from Genesis 3. And sin entered the world. And things are no longer Tov. That glorious sky can also produce storms that are deadly and kill. And if you lived in New England during any of these ice storms over the last decade, you know that it might have been absolutely beautiful when the world was covered with ice, but it was treacherous and dangerous, and there was pain. But that sin and death and loss, that's not how God made the world. When he created the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon and the stars, the animals and man, they were Tov. They were working as they were created to work. A Tov world did not have sin or death or pain or loss. And so we celebrate that God today, don't we? How great is our God who made all things. So the origin of humanity starts with Elohim, starts with God, the plural God who in the singular created. Three in one, creating as one. First, the heavens and the earth. Will you look at me with me at Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and God called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. So much happens here. First, God is creating time. That first day, there is morning and there is evening, and it becomes a day, which becomes a week, which becomes a month and a year and decades. And the joy that we celebrate in this season, which is still Christmas, is that the most amazing thing, God, who existed outside of time, entered time as an infant baby who grew and lived a perfect, sinless life and died a death on the cross that you and I deserved and rose again and reconciled us to the God who created us. As I started to prepare for today, I found a video on YouTube that you're free to look up after. And it takes place in 1968. Some of you might remember this, when the astronauts of Apollo 8 went around the dark side of the moon on Christmas Eve. And as they came around the dark side of the moon, in their view was the Earth, the way that God himself saw it as he created it. And the astronauts began to quote Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as I saw that video, it came to mind a song that I loved as a teenager. If you grew up in the church, you might remember Sandy Patty. And I loved this song. And she said, "You spoke the words and all the world came into order. The planets filled the empty sky." She continued, "And Lord, I stand amazed at the wonder of your deeds, but a greater wonder brings me to my knees. Lord, I praise you because of who you are." That's why we come together to celebrate not just what he has done, but more importantly, who he is. The amazing God we worship is eternal. He is creator. And so as you look at Genesis 1, you'll start to see a pattern. On day 1, God said, "Let there be light." And then on day 5, he creates the sun and the moon and the stars. On day 2, God separates the sky from the water. And then on day 6, he creates the birds of the sky and the fish of the water. On day 3, he creates the plants and the land and the sea. And then on day 6, he creates the animals and man that inhabit that. And then we have something special on day 7, don't we? God rests. And throughout Scripture, we will see him encouraging us to receive this gift that he has given us, to take the Sabbath and rest. And so God spoke and he created. And each time he created, what did he say? He said, "It is good. It is tov. It is working the way it was created to work. It is." Now, I think we could spend weeks just looking at each day of creation. So I encourage you, take some time this week. Find someone to sit around the table with. Take a couple versions of Scripture and read through it slowly and see what God speaks to you from the Scripture as you begin to realize what it meant that when God created, it was tov. If you were here with us during Share Christmas, our Christmas series, you might remember when Jeff shared with us that when Joseph realized Jesus was going to be his son, he was not given the authority to name Jesus because Jesus belonged to God. God named him, right? And God said, "His name shall be called Emmanuel." You might remember that as we look at Genesis 1. What do we see God doing as he creates day and night and sky? He names it. He created it. It is his and he named it. And Genesis 1 ends with the pinnacle of God's creation. God creates humanity. In Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. God created them and God blessed them. He gave to the people made in his image all authority over everything, and it was so. Genesis shows us that from the beginning, we have been the image bearers of God. We have been given his authority. So what does that mean? You know, these last few weeks, I've been really trying to understand, what does it mean to me to know that I am made in the image of God? What about God is in me? Have you ever really thought about it before? Is it just simply that I stand up on two legs versus the animals? Well, I love what Relevant Magazine had to say about that. But before I go there, I would love for you to take some time this week and really think about, what does it mean to you to know that you are made in God's image? Well, they had a few different points that I think are so strong. One is that we are spiritual because God is spirit. It says so in Genesis 1:2. It says, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And our spirit, though it is unseen, is as real as the physical part of ourselves. And nurturing our spirits is as important as eating and drinking and exercising are to our physical body. Genesis 2 begins with this gift from God called Sabbath rest. And do you honor this gift? I know it is so hard. But just as our physical bodies will die without food and drink, our spirit will die without rest and without time with God. And next, Relevant continues to say, we were not meant to be alone. God is relational. The very essence of God is relational. And that quality has been imprinted on humans. God created Eve for Adam. Why, does Scripture say? Because it is not good for man to be alone. If Harbor is your home, I encourage you, find a group to serve with. Find a group to sit around the table and study Scripture with. Be known and allow yourself to be known. And then the third point is that we communicate because God communicates. What did God do? He said, let there be light. And there was light. And anthropologists agree that language, which is first spoken and then written, represents the sharpest break between animals and humans. We're all made in the image of God. We have a spirit. We were intended to be in community, and we communicate. If you were here last week, Emma Little was telling us that we are made in the image of God. We bear his image the same way a coin will bear the image of a political figure, because we are the currency of the king. When Jesus tells the Pharisees to give to God what is his and give to Caesar what is his, he's telling them, and God is telling us today, we bear God's image because we belong to him. See, in Genesis, we see God commanding light to be, and it is. He commands there to be light, to be birds in the air, to be the sun and the moon and the stars. He spoke, and they were. But with Adam, it was different. He was handmade from the dust of the earth. In Genesis 1:27, God said, let us create human beings in our image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And then what did God do? He breathed the breath of life into them. Genesis 2 begins with the Sabbath. It summarizes day one, and its focus is on the origin of humanity. And in Genesis 2:7, it says, God shaped man from the soil of the ground and then blew breath of life into his mouth, and man became a living being. From the very first moments of time, Adam and God were in an intimate relationship. Humanity was created without sin, without shame, without death. Like all that God had created, humanity was tov, created and working as it was meant to. And yet today we sit here and we know the scripture to be true. All of creation mourns and longs to be restored. But in the garden, there was no death, just life. Because pain and death and suffering were never intended to be part of God's creation. When God created, it was good. It was tov. And I know some of us sit here today and find it hard to believe that God created us on purpose for a purpose. And if only one thing stays with you today, please hear this. You are not an accident. Whether you were planned or unplanned by your parents, God has a plan. And his desire is for us to know him and to know who we are. I'm a child of God, and so are you. We were created to live bold lives, taking steps every day that God had planned in advance. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he prepared for us long ago. Today, do you believe that God created you on purpose for a purpose? He breathed life into Adam, and he gives life to us all. We were not given a spirit of fear. What is the command we see all through Scripture? Do not be afraid. So this year I'm asking you to ask God to give you a big dream. Allow him to show you the good things that he planned for you to do long ago. And Harbor, as a community, God has given us a big dream. He has called us to go into the city of Lowell and help people find their way back to him. The city is full of people who need to know the truth that we know, that God made us and God loves us. And as we look at one another, do we see the image of God in each other? If you were here last week, Emma said it so well. She said, people are made in God's image, and we must live in light of that, reaching out to others, giving them dignity, giving them help and hope. And so as we look at the end of Genesis 1:31, we see God saw everything he had made. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening and morning the sixth day. Each day of creation, we see God giving us a reminder. All was tov. And before there was time, God was. And he's with us here today. That's the Christmas joy, Emmanuel. God is with us. And he longs for all of his creation to be with him throughout eternity. That is why Christ came. And if you sit here today and you've never recognized your own need for a Savior, know that that is who Jesus longs to be. Because he lived a perfect life. He died the death that we deserve. Scripture says the wages, what we have earned from our sin, is death. And he died that death. But the good news, the gospel that we celebrate, is that the blood of Christ has paid in full all of our sin, every thought, every word, every deed that separated us from the God who created us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reminds us that the old is gone, the new has come. If Christ has entered your life, this is who you are. You are his creation, his beloved child. And one day, we recognize this, don't we? One day, all will be tov again. The end of 2016, we will be in the book of Revelation recognizing what God says to be true, that the lion and the lamb will one day lay down together. And so this is the gospel, this is the good news we celebrate and why we long to go into the city and share it with more people. If you've heard me speak before, you know that much of my theology comes from music. I love that God has put people on our planet who read his word and then are able to translate it and add melody to it and be able to share it with us in a way that we can remember it through song. And so one of my favorite groups is named Casting Crowns, and I love how they describe our faith, how they describe Christ in the song One Day. It says, living, he loves me. That's who Jesus is. Dying, he saved me. And buried, he carried all my sins far away. Rising, he justified me and freed me forever. And one day he's coming. What a glorious day. This is the good news that I want us to celebrate. So how do we put this information we're learning about the origin of humanity into action in our own lives? Well, first, we need to know that God is who he says he is. How my children learned it at our previous churches, God is personal. He's the eternal spirit, creator of the universe, father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our father. But we can add to that too, can't we? We can know that God is for us. He is with us. He is good. And he calls us his children. And we can call him Abba Father and say boldly, I am a child of God. So this year, as we move from Garden to City, I encourage you, use the tools that we will be creating for this year. Read scripture, join a journey group, study scripture with friends, and then make it a goal to memorize some of God's word. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart. So many times God speaks to me. In fact, throughout this message, many of the scriptures that came to mind were words that he had helped me to hide in my heart. So maybe this year your goal is to hide some of the word of God in your heart. Second, I want us to know that Jesus came to show us who God is. The Gospels are, the back third of our Bible is the New Testament, and the Gospels are those first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it describes as Jesus walked along the earth with his friends, who he called his disciples, and one of those disciples was named John. And John wrote the Gospel called John, and this is what he says in John 1:1. It might sound familiar, having just read Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. This is Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God showed us in the beginning of Genesis 1, all of creation was good. It was tov. The physical that we see and the spiritual that we do not see. There was no evil and there was no pain in the garden. And this light of life God was giving to everyone. The third thing I want you to know is that all of humanity, the origin of humanity, we were created by God in his image, on purpose, for a purpose. In Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, it describes you and I. It says to God, you made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. And this is so important. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. God had a plan for you and for me. Genesis reminds us the Lord God formed man from the dust. He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and Adam became a living person. And finally, we are meant to have a relationship with God and with others. Life is not meant to be lived alone. Let's look at Genesis 2, verse 22. The Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, "This one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined with his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. God designed us to be known and to know him and to feel no shame. That was the Tov. And sitting here today, know that God knows everything about you. And he loves you. I know we sit alongside each other, and often the truth of who we are is hidden from each other, but it's not hidden from God. And yet he loves us so fully. As I began to prepare for this week, I thought of many of you in our community, and I thought, what value does knowing the origin of humanity in the verses of Genesis 1 bring into your life? And I realize it's the same value that has allowed me to lead children's ministry for 13 years. It's because our worldview matters. And you might sit here today and think you don't have a worldview, but we all do. Our worldview is how we see things. It's the lens that shapes the way events in our lives are viewed and interpreted. And we all have a worldview, whether we think we have one or not. And our worldview needs to begin with this truth. God is who he says he is. And God can do what he says he can do. And that is why I'm excited that we will be spending this year going from Genesis to Revelation slowly and carefully, so that we can hear the truth about who God is, not just so we can know it, but so that we will believe it and we will live it. And we need to believe and know this truth. This is what our identity is. We are the loved children of God. We were created on purpose for a purpose. So my hope for us is that we will allow this year to be the year we take a brave step to believe God, not just believe in him, but believe him, believe his word. Don't be a slave to the fear that says you're not enough. You're not loved enough. You're not good enough. You're not wanted. Don't believe that. The beauty of Genesis 1 is that God made us. He loves us. He is with us and he is for us. And you know, for me to stand here, I always look out into the audience and see people and think, Lord, why have I been given this gift? Here I am, a daughter of someone who didn't want me, but I was adopted. Didn't know my own brothers and sisters, didn't know anything about one side of my family till I was over 40. I grew up in the home of an alcoholic. I grew up in a church where we were the poorest of the people in our church. But over and over again, God reminded me, I am his child. And that's what he wants to remind you. You were created for something only you can do. And if you choose to step outside of the fear that says, I'm not enough, I can't possibly be the one to do this, and you are brave and you believe that God is saying to you what he's saying right now, you are a child of God. You can do what it is that he's created you to do. And that's why I stand here today. I want to encourage us as a community to be the church God wants us to be. And it requires us believing God, not just believing in him, but believing him, believing his word. So I want to close today with the words from Ephesians 1 that will be in your journal. And I really do encourage you, purchase one next week, take it home, read it, and then do it. Spend time at the feet of God and allow him to speak to you. Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5 say, even before he made the world, God loved us. He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gives him great pleasure. If you're sitting here today as a parent, does anything give you more pleasure than watching your children become who it is that Christ created them to be? You know the joy that it brings God when we step into the roles that he has created us to do through his power alone. So our journal continues. Before God spoke anything into existence, before heaven and earth, before there was even light, He'd already considered you. He'd already considered me and deemed us a worthwhile rationale for bringing the world into reality. The thought of a relationship with you brought God joy before he even spoke light into being. Before you were created, God loved you. And so I want to finish today with a verse from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he has called us his children, and that is who we are. As we step into 2016, let's claim this role. We are the loved children of the Most High God. In a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to re-sing that song from Galatians that we don't have to be slaves to our fear. We are the children of God. And if you have a chance at home, you can put it on YouTube and you can watch the lead singer as she sings it. And I love throughout the end as she boldly states, I am a child of God. I hope that's what you leave here believing as we go into 2016. You are the loved children of God. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for these reminders from the book of Genesis. First, together, we praise you for who you are. You are holy and you are mighty. You are the creator of all things. And Lord, we humble ourselves now and just come before you and praise you for who you are, not just for all the mighty things that you have done. And second, we thank you that we have been made in your image, that you have created us, that you love us, that we can be called your children. Lord, I pray over our community this year that you will help us grow into the people you've created us to be, that we can go forth into the city of Lowell and help people find their way back to you. And I thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.